coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Over here, Eric the Tech, he pushed the button before I was ready. Hey, welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. I want to welcome everyone as we enter into the Thanksgiving season. I just want to express my thanks to all of you folks for tuning in and keeping this one of the more popular podcasts on Spreaker. Well over a million downloads, looks like in the last 30 days. Appreciate that. Now, of course, you know, some of the big hitters, 60 million downloads, but a million's good. Million's good. So thank you so much for that. And of course, you can find us on Rumble. If you go to HagmanReport.com, that's two N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com. No the, just HagmanReport.com. And sign up for Rumble. Subscribe to Rumble, subscribe to our channel, as well as on Brighteon. Take your pick. Do both if you'd like. There's features to both. And sometimes the Brighteon gets up quicker and has less stuff than Rumble. And so there's features to both. But you can discuss the shows, of course, leave comments and what have you. Again, I want to welcome everyone and thank you from the bottom of our hearts on behalf of Eric the Tech. My family, my wife, my lady, the studio dog, and her cousin Theo. We just want to say thank you to everyone for your support, your kindness, your emails, every correspondence you've sent. I've read every letter you send. I read. I don't have time to respond to each one, but again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. So some things we're going to be getting into today really quick. A lot of information going on. One of the things I'm very, very focused on is the upcoming trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, you might think, well, you know, Rittenhouse trial, that just came and went. The Aubrey trial down in Georgia, that's going on. These are social trials of social justice importance, okay? But the real, in my view anyway, the real trial, if enough information comes out, and I believe given the set of circumstances, given the charges, the people involved, I think we are going to see some dramatic revelations from the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Now, the criminal trial. Now, I'll say this. Or I'll ask this. If the mainstream media doesn't report on the facts, do they exist? Of course they do. But it's going to be up to us to really put this front and center. Because I believe what will come out of this trial will be an indictment of not just some of the previous powerful, rich and powerful people, but an indictment of some of the more, some of the globalists here that are active and actively taking away our freedoms. Now, there is, Eric the Tech, is it my understanding we have an over and under on the survival of Ghislaine Maxwell and company? I mean, what's the over under on that? but by the way, are you ready for Thanksgiving? I just have to ask.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Your house.
Nobody tells me anything. No one tells me anything. All right. But at any rate, I just, you know, it's a very heavy subject. The trial is extremely heavy. Look, because a lot of dignitaries, a lot of, boy, that's a bad word. No, a lot of scumbags, perverts were involved with Epstein, Maxwell, and the British royal family. But this could very well, absolutely could very well uncover a lot of things. Now, the reason I'm really focused on this in addition to all of that is if, and I really, really miss Russ Dizdar, I mean, from the bottom of my heart, but that his team and this platform were carrying on the investigations that we had done together, especially since the midsummer. And the name Ghislaine Maxwell had come up a number of times. I'm sharing some investigative information with you that I can share. All right, it's not going to compromise or in any way impact the investigation. But we've got several witness statements that discuss Ghislaine Maxwell in the context of prostituting. Let me back up. In the context of obtaining children from sources outside of the United States and within the United States, and then prostituting these children underage minors, and the ages range based on the information that we, that Russ and I had obtained and documented, anywhere between 11 years old, both boys and girls, to 16 and 17 year old girls and 15 year old boys. We have that information documented. Now you might say, well, if you have it, why don't you submit it? We have. But there's also the other part of this, despite the fact that Epstein is no longer with us and Maxwell is on trial, the operation is still going on. And speaking of Ghislaine Maxwell, I'm going to just punch this up right now. She's used to a life of privilege. She is receiving extra special treatment in prison, I might add. The Free Press report reports that Ghislaine Maxwell, while rubbing elbows with elite celebrities around the world, she, as an inmate, she's still receiving some special treatment while on suicide watch at the Metropolitan Detention Center in downtown Brooklyn, New York. Now, special treatment while locked up in the MDC is coming directly from her powerful family. And you have to understand, her father was a big deal in the publishing industry. Maxwell's family has directly filed an appeal to the United Nations regarding her treatment, claiming that this, again, you talk about warped. This is unprecedented discrimination, the likes of which have never been seen before. All of her applications for bail have been rejected. Well, yeah, okay, if you understand why, what bail is used for, bail is used to assure that you will appear and face the charges. Yeah, okay. And of course, she has methods and ways to circumvent that. If Ghislaine Maxwell is suffering the consequences for the failure of U.S. administration to preserve the life of Jeffrey Epstein and secure his appearance at trial, let me rephrase that. It is as if that she is suffering the consequences for failing to keep Epstein alive, essentially, and for not securing his appearance at trial. But she's an extreme flight risk, and that's why the bail requests have been denied. When you consider her immense wealth, and when you consider her connections with rich and powerful foreign nationals, dignitaries, people in power in other countries, some of which have the capability of refusing to extradite her back to the United States to face the charges, well, then you'll understand that she can't be allowed to walk free. All right. Now, she could, in theory, and again, this goes to bail, this goes to appearance, she could use her connections to escape the United States to a country without an extradition treaty, which, again, is why the denial of bail is so critical here, including UAE, United Arab Emirates, her connection to that royal family there. And that's a very high possibility. Now, the trial itself starts on the 29th, and believe me, Although we watched the Rittenhouse trial, this will not be live streamed. It's my understanding it won't be live streamed. I don't believe it will. But we have human intelligence assets at that location to give us information directly from the trial. And I want to thank, I'm not going to name them. I don't want to put anyone in danger, but I want to thank them, two individuals specifically for being there for us. But here's what Ms. Maxwell is saying about her stay at the Metropolitan Detention Center. You ready? That she's receiving insufficient nutrition. She's referring to the quality and serving size of food served in the mess hall. Now, hold on a minute here, because you might say, come on, this is not news. Now, this is the mindset. And this is why, in part, as I digress a little bit, this is why, in part, I believe that we can win if we continue to fight against the deep state, the people who think that they're all that, right? So just hold on a second. The length and frequency of her phone privileges, right? The general hostility and overmanagement from prison guards. Okay. The lack of full contact visitation rights. Eric the Tech, when you were in jail, when you did the stint in Joliet there, I'm kidding. Don't. No, I mean, so she wants, you know, physical contact in jail. I mean, what's wrong with that, right? I mean,
don't drop the soap.
Don't drop the soap. Well, I'm not. Okay. Speaking from experience, right? No, and she is under constant surveillance. She complained. Yeah, she's under constant surveillance as she moves throughout the facility. And of course, my personal favorite is her complaining about the lack of entertainment options. Specifically, certain TV channels, movies, and as well as TV channels and movies. So, Ghislaine Maxwell has filed complaints out the wazoo. With the United Nations and other interested parties. So, but the reason I said all that is just simply to say this. I believe this has the ability to really shine the light on a number of things. And really what might come out at trial may even assist us on the ground here in the tri-state area, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, because of course this is what we do. We're not just the Chair Force. We are, or the Air Force, we are the ground troops. And again, I want to thank everyone from Russ's team who's listening. I want to thank Coach Dave Dobmeyer as well, and all of the volunteers and people who put themselves in harm's way to do what they do. All right, so that's number one. So that's Ghislaine Maxwell. Hang on, I'm getting to my electronic notes here. This is good. Electronic notes. Hang on. Hold on a second. All right. By the way, yesterday, it was late last night. I'm sorry, late last night. It was post-show last night. Kevin, a good friend of the show, good friend of mine, sent me a link to iHeartRadio, the Jeff Kooner show. And I just want to mention this because a lot of stuff is being thrown out there about Kyle Rittenhouse and about Lynn Wood. If you've spent any time on social media, alternative media, you see, oh my gosh, Kyle Rittenhouse says Lynn Wood is, you know, a fraud and took all of his money and kept him in jail. And Tucker Carlson, remember that I said, watch the Tucker Carlson episode. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. But there's value beyond that, a complaint about Lynn Wood. Well, yesterday morning, Lynn Wood reportedly, and as far as I could tell, authentically contacted Jeff Kooner. And I tried to make sure that this wasn't a spoof. If it was, short of talking with Lynn Wood, if it was, it would probably be one of the spoof of the century. But I believe this call to be authentic. Lynn Wood called into the Kooner show. And you can find this on iHeart. If I have the ability, I'll put it up on the link in the program description box, but it was a 51-minute discussion between Linwood and Jeff Cooner, a talk show host up in the New England area, saying, look, they've got this all wrong. And there's another attorney, John Pearson, there. And Linwood goes to his own defense, attempting to put to rest some of the issues. Now, I really don't like getting into the middle of these things or getting involved in these things, because you always feel like you need a shower, right? I mean, after all of this, it's just, ugh. I really don't like that. I detest that. But Linwood yesterday made some interesting and, to me, some pretty valid points, all right? Again, I'm 98% certain that was the real Linwood, given his knowledge of the case, the names, the places, the dates, and such. So I guess what I'm saying is there's an effort, I believe, and this was made pretty clear during that discussion. There's an effort to divide the Patriot community. There's an effort to cause turmoil within the Patriot community. Please don't let that happen. Please, unless you're looking at deep state operatives or individuals or assets who are really trying to tank the movement, let's not have a circular firing squad. That's just my request. All right. I just wanted to mention that before moving on. You've got to hear that. It's a very interesting. It's just the whole thing is just interesting. But again, before you pass judgment, I would listen to the Jeff Cooner show. And you know what? I'm going to try to get him on this show. He's an excellent talk show host. He really popular up in New England and nationwide, worldwide, actually. Through his simultaneous broadcasting. So it's all good. And in fact, I would have Linwood on as well, Mike Lindell. I would have them all on. Now, Mike Lindell, by the way, will be coming on with Brandon House. I'm just, again, the date's uncertain. These guys' schedules are just crazy. And you know, I could have something scheduled for, tomorrow night or, Friday night, and all of a sudden, bang, Friday afternoon, it's a whole different ballgame. So hang in there. All right. Interesting piece by that appeared in the National Pulse, Natalie Winters. Gates Foundation sent over $54 million, and there it is on your screen, folks, to China since COVID, including money to Wuhan collaborators. Now, why is this important? Because when we look at the coronavirus situation, and you might say, well, there is no coronavirus, it's no pandemic, look, I understand all of the angles here, but whatever was created at the Wuhan laboratory, and there was a bioweapon that was created there, and whatever so-called vaccine, which is not a vaccine, whatever was created to be presented to the public as a vaccine, I suspect is really part of the infrastructure by the deep state globalists that they're using to bring down the West and specifically the United States, the tyrannical approach. So you start to wonder, if that is the case, let's have some names. Let's have some proof. Let's follow the money. All right. Well, since the onset, and you can just keep that picture up there. The link to this article will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But since the onset of this COVID-19, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has sent over $54 million to fund global health projects in China, including to institutions controlled by the Chinese Communist Party and the Wuhan Institute of Virology collaborators. Now, this mirrors a lot of my investigation. So since December of 2019, you're looking at, this is December of 2021 coming up. So almost 2 years now. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sent a total of 93 grants, adding up to $54,573,428 to China-based projects. Think about this now. And among the grant recipients are several Chinese Communist Party-run institutions, including Beijing Normal University, Peking University, and other universities, and official regime bodies, including their Ministry of Agriculture, the Chinese Center for CDC, or Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and the Ministry of Science and Technology. Now, again, you can read this, and I would suggest you do read this, because this also extends into, well, you don't have to be a detective to figure this out. This extends into broadening the Chinese Communist Party's role in what they term vaccine development and distribution. There was a $300,000 grant to a specific university in August of 2020 to establish a think tank to provide, and I quote, regulatory science, research, and technical support for vaccine ecosystem building suggestions. Did I read that right? Yeah. A think tank in order to brainwash, I don't know how else to describe it, this love or this acceptance for vaccines. So when you look at all of these knuckleheads out there who are pushing these vaccines or repeating talking points, where are the talking points coming from? They're coming from the Communist Chinese. But wait a second. In addition to what the Communist Chinese are doing, they are getting paid for it. The Communist Chinese think tanks are. So who's paying the freight on this? It's coming from the United States. It's coming from Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, among others. And we can go back, look, folks, we can go back to, my goodness, hang on a second here. Let me grab for this. We can go back to 1956, if you really want to get down with this, when the Wuhan Microbiology Lab was founded in Wuhan, all right? It was renamed to the Wuhan Institute of Virology in 1978. Now, remember, okay, so here's the other part of this that this article does not get into. But when you follow the money and steps back, how many minutes I got left? Five for this segment? About, okay, thank you. So when you start following the money back, you start getting into, in 2002 and 2003, you remember the SARS epidemic. There were 774 people to die worldwide. And this was from from the bats to civets to people. And that was SARS back in 02 and 03. It's interesting, later in 03, there was a second outbreak of SARS, not in Wuhan, but in Singapore, which was linked to a lab accident. The investigation found that the SARS virus escaped from a high-level lab in Beijing. All right, now, again, why is all this important, historically important? The reason this is because the people who were developing the devil's serums, I suppose, or tweaking the viruses, were in fact doing so for quite some time. We can take this back 20 years. And Shi Xingli, the director at Wuhan, back in 2004, specifically found this treasure trove of coronaviruses in a bat cave, in the poop of bats back in 04, and used that as the main part of the gain of function in order to see if they can inject mice and other animals with this coronavirus specific to bats. And the humanized mice were injected as early, according to my research, as early as 2004, 2005, specifically 2005, when the mice were, you know, humanized their lung tissue and such. So I want you to think back. Remember Dolly the sheep? Remember all the talk about cloning? Remember all the talk, Steve Quayle and Alex Jones talking about this? This was taking place some 15 years ago. So the creation of what we're seeing now, in addition to the creation of this mRNA technology, long time in coming. So here we go now. We can find, we see this has never stopped. The money to fund this and the brainwashing of the populace, compliments of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has not stopped. So there it is. And it's actually even gotten larger in of late. All right, the next item very quickly here. You know, if you've noticed in my area, look, the so-called COVID case numbers are rising, all right? If you tune on any media, turn on any media, television, radio, oh my gosh, there were 317 new cases today. There were, it's out of control. Well, when you look at Los Angeles, and this is specific, this is number two headline here. The Los Angeles COVID surge defies vaccine narrative. The most vaxxed areas are now the most heavily infected. Mission accomplished. Isn't that what this is all about? And the article that you see on the screen, again, the link will be in the program description box. How do you confuse a government health official? Show them stats that compare percentages of vaccines in areas with surges in COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Well, and they will perform Olympic-level intellectual gymnastics in order to avoid the most obvious conclusion. High vaccine levels equate to higher COVID-19 surges. And this is what we're seeing happen all across the country. We see this in Israel. We see this in Gibraltar. We see this in countries that have the heaviest lockdowns. There it is right there. There it is highlighted on the screen. So this is right now manifesting in more places around the United States as different areas reach different levels of vaccination. But and this is playing out very well and very appropriately in New York. And there it is. There it is. Real quick, before I bring on Richard Proctor, I just want to mention, you know, another good piece of investigative work by the National Pulse, Raheem Kassam. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The January 6th committee, committee, Benny Thompson, January 6th committee in the House. I'm going to tell you something right now. They are widening their probe. They're trying to net other people into this false narrative of insurrection. It's according to National Pulse, Raheem Kassam, January 6th commission fabricated. And this is important because this is not, whoops, we made a mistake. Oh, gee whiz, sorry, got the date wrong, got the time wrong. No. They fabricated the whereabouts of Willard Hotel War Room attendee in subpoena, according to the evidence. And I'm talking about Bernard Carrick, who was about 300 miles away. And Carrick's lawyers and such, they're dealing with this. But here's the links that they will go. In addition to sending a subpoena to Roger Stone and Alex Jones, and more are coming. My source tells me anywhere between 16 to 20, roughly three to about 18. About 18 more subpoenas are coming, and some include some alternative. I don't like to use that word. New media people. All right, one more thing. I started off with, and I'm going to end with this. Bill Clinton, you know he's not in the best of health, right? Well, Bill Clinton's his name is going to come up here, and I wouldn't be surprised. You watch, I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Clinton's health takes a bad turn. I'm not wishing that on him. It's just an observation. As the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, as I'm open with, and I'm going to conclude with here this segment, as this goes on, you're gonna see Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Clinton Associates names pop up. There are 26 locations Bill Clinton flew with Jeffrey Epstein on the Lolita Express. This is roughly between 2002, February, and November of 2003. There were more, I believe, more in the later years. But consider the timing of this, and I'll link to this article as well. You can take a look at who some of the other passengers, along with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, were. And that should tell you a whole ton if you want to really get into the deep, dark secrets of all of this. But again, when the threat of exposure is high, so is the threat of false flags. Watch for those. And I dropped the paper. Watch for the false flags, because they're coming. More false flags are coming. All right. You know, as we enter toward the as we celebrate Thanksgiving, and as we enter toward the Christmas holiday, many people exchange gifts as a custom. It has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus, but okay. It's interesting, because one of the gifts that people should, I believe, should give and would love to receive would be the gift of knowledge. And Richard Proctor has done a great job with all of his books, from Saving the Constitution to the Liberty Series to Bathroom Economics and such. There's so much to talk about on the economic level right now, at an economic level. I don't know how many people saw the Energy Secretary stumble through a press conference about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Oh, my goodness, that was a cluster. You know what I mean? All right. Couldn't answer simple questions, had no idea of anything, and that's the Energy Secretary. But the higher prices, of course, this year, the fact that I believe it was General Mills, one of the bigger food companies, are going to be raising prices in January. I think all products like 20%. And forgive me if it's not General Mills, but...
And Dollar Tree.
Yeah, it's now $1.25 tree, right?
Yep.
It doesn't quite flow off the tongue as well as the Dollar Tree, does it? So, that's... There goes my shopping budget. You know, I do spend money, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and places like that, because you know why? I'm frugal. I'm not cheap. I'm just frugal. All right. But Richard Proctor, you know.
That's where all the senior citizens go.
Hey, now, I'm not a senior citizen yet, am I? By definition, I'm not. Do I look old? Come on, guys. Do I look old?
Nah, you look good.
Look good. All right, folks. At any rate, Richard Proctor, it would be great this Christmas. Certainly, with the fact that postage is going up, the cost of printing is going up, take advantage of this while you can. Richard Proctor has done a great job. Liberty Series at $100 out the door. His other books, buy one, get one half off. You know what? If you wait another 2 months, he's probably going to have to shut that off, because he'll be losing money with the postage going up and with the shipping and all that stuff going up. He'll be losing money. So take advantage of it now, especially for Christmas. Bathroom Economics, Saving the Constitution, Liberty Series, take your pick, have at it, and especially if you homeschool kids. There's my endorsement on his products. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, link in the program description box. How you doing, sir?
Good, good. Glad to be here with you again. This is fine. Yes, sirree. I listened to what you were just talking about with the Chinese stuff. And the 54 million, sounds like 54 million. That's yes. No big thing, $54 million. Yep. You know what that equates to in the Chinese economy? Third of $1 billion.
How much?
The yuan to the dollar is 16 cents. Therefore, every time we send, if they, to correlate it, they go up 16 times to get a dollar to one, he is sending them the equivalent in their economy of a third of $1 billion. That's what $54 million is to the Chinese.
Well, now, Now, hold on a second, because we had MSNBC Math on yesterday. I don't know whether you saw that, where Bloomberg spent 500 or half a billion. And for that, according to MSNBC, they said, well, you know, we can give every person in America $1 million based on what, never mind. It was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And Brian Williams is going, And so you're saying, okay, so, but back to the point, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, the relationship is a dollar to 16 cents to a one. So every time we send them a dollar, we have sent them 16, 6-1. And that's that for their economy. So when we send $54 million, we have sent $342 million of their currency, their economy. So that's a third of $1 billion going to their economy just from Bill and Melinda Gates. Now, that's an enormous amount of money to just a country. We don't pay attention to the exchange rates here, folks. There's so much in economics that people don't pay attention to. I'm surprised. But there's one of them. What's 54 million? We don't care about 54 million in our country. That's pocket change for tomorrow. But a third of $1 billion isn't pocket change. And that's what they really affected the Chinese economy with. And there you have it.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sending that money. Who knows NIH and NAIAD did. Okay.
Now let's get to the Liberty Series. On the same subject. Okay.
All right.
Bill and Melinda Gates are part of the international banking establishment, the insiders, whatever you want to call them. Those people, his assignment is to depopulate the world. That's his assignment. And you can tell it. You can see what he's done over the time he's been there. You can watch all the things that he's done have had a goal of killing off the population. Depopulation of the world means getting rid of 95% of us. That's what it means.
I don't like that.
So if you look around a room of 100 people, his goal is to get rid of all but six. That's his goal.
Now, your Liberty Series gets into that.
Yes, we talk about the depopulation. We talk about what the organization does. But everything that's talked about isn't in there. But the patterns are all there.
Yep.
The patterns are there.
Yep.
You know, George Bernard Shaw. Do you guys remember George Bernard Shaw?
Yep.
What do we remember him, George Bernard Shaw, for? Books.
Well.
He was an author. Great author.
That's one way of looking at him, yes.
Okay, well, he sold a lot of books.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
How would you look at George Bernard Shaw, Doug?
A eugenicist, a depopulationist.
Oh, you see him as that way. Yes, that's exactly what he is because he's a part of this group. George Bernard Shaw is a Fabian socialist.
There you go.
As was John Maynard Keynes, Fabian socialist. Okay. Who else do we know? Oh, Jacques Cousteau, the guy in the oceans. He's a part of the group. He was interested in the 95% death rate. Okay. These people want 95% gone. Prince, this is all in the book. A prince of England says, if there's reincarnation, I want to come back as a virus so I can kill off this population. That's their attitude. They want us dead. And they have a tool that's working really well. It's called COVID-19. I mean, there's never been a tool better than this because the United States population, which is the population they're aiming at, because there's the Constitution and we are still a light to the world of what freedom is. Since we're still that, they want to destroy that. So what do? They want to destroy the United States Constitution. So what do we have? We have Constitutional Convention. Everybody pushing for that. We have all these depopulated COVID. Oh, my. Everybody's scared to death. I see people still wearing masks. Hospitals make you. You can't go into a hospital. I've tried recently. You know, I used to be able to. Can't get in them anymore. Cannot get into a hospital without them yelling and screaming at me. For example, I went to a hospital this week with my young wife who had to have a blood test. That's all she needed was a blood test. Nothing more than that. But she needs a wheelchair. So I'm going to get the wheelchair. They told me where they were, and I went to get them. They said, well, you got to have a mask. Now, the wheelchairs are 50 feet away from where the people passing out the masks are, and they're 6 feet behind the information booth. The lady in the information booth went out and got a chair, brought it out to give it to me. She said, but you got to put your mask on. No, I'm not wearing a mask. Stupid. You've got to, or we won't. They would not give me a chair for me to take to my wife, for her to get her, and she'll wear a mask. She's not quite as avid as me. They would not give me a chair to take to her so she could come in and get her work, her lab work done. So I went to another place across the street, and they said, oh, here's your mask. And I took it. I always do. I took it. And she said, okay. And that was it. Nobody cared. I never put it on. She put hers on when she went in to see the get her a procedure done. They had me wheel her into the lab to get her procedure done. I didn't wear a mask. Everybody else was. I didn't. They say a word. Okay, leave her here. I did. I went away. Waited for her to finish. That's what's going on in our hospitals. And the mask, I already explained that last week. I've explained it over and over and over again. But this, the 252 picograms is the size of an oxygen molecule. Well, when you take that to a nanogram, it's 0.252. If you take that to a microgram, it's 000252. You see how small the item is, how small the disease virus is? I mean, it's 0.002 of a microgram. Micron, they call them really. Micron. Now, how much effect is then they're going to wear a mask? Well, the mask will only keep out something more than 10 microns. Did I say 10? Yes, which means they don't get any of it. Nothing. You can wear 1,000 masks if your breath will carry that far. You can wear 1,000 masks and have no more protection than one, which is zero protection, because every mesh screen is the same size. So the bug just goes right on through, wherever working his way through, and he's there. And now how far does that bug travel from normal breathing? 28 meters or 26 feet. So if you walk into a room that's 26 by 26 feet, every breath you take will cover the whole room. How do you like that? Now that's stuff that's true. Okay, and every breath you have, if you have the disease, every breath you have will be loaded with it as it goes around the room. If they have the disease, every breath they do will go loaded with it, go around the room. You cannot get away from the thing. So why do we pretend? Because we're scared. We're scared. The government scared us to death. We got to have a mask. Oh, no, I will die if we don't have a mask. You guys, it doesn't make any difference. Have a mask or not. Have a 1,000 masks in front of you. You'll still die if you're gonna. It can't be stopped with a mask. It can't be stopped with 6 feet. It can't be, unless you have a separate breathing apparatus, you know, with straps going on. Is it coming? And even maybe tubes out to the outside. That's the only way you're not going to pick up that bug in that room, 26 feet square, 26 feet across. How many of us go into 26 feet rooms that are 26 feet across? I'm building one right now that is 25 by 35, and everybody's looking at this. This is monstrous, but that's only two rooms of 26 feet by 26 feet. And it's monstrous. Go to your homes. I want you to take a measuring device, whatever you have. Yardsticks are tough. Use a 30-foot measuring device, you know, a tape measure, 30 feet long. Run around every room in the house and see how many of them you have that are greater than 26 feet. That's what it's got to be. That's what you've got to do. You've got to get beyond 26 feet. Then if the air is ruffled by an air conditioner or a wind or a breeze, it goes further than 26 feet. That's just still air. It'll then settle in 26 feet. Now, that's what it is. 8 meters is what it actually says in European stuff where I learn all these things. And it's the bug itself size is 0.000252 microns in size. Folks, that's really, really small. Now you've got a picture. of all the ridiculous. Why are we doing this? Because Bill and Melinda Gates' goal is to kill everybody in this country, so they don't care if you wear that mask or not. They're going to get you anyway, and that's all they care about. Their goal is to depopulate the world. My article that I have on this is 60 pages long, How to Kill a Tree. Well, you kill a tree by severing the roots. How do you sever the roots? You get rid of the women. You know, one guy can take care of an awful lot of women. A lot of guys are showing us it can be done, okay? But it takes a woman to have a baby. If 1,000 women are sterilized, there's 1,000 babies not going to be born. Maybe it's 2,000 or 3,000 because women usually have more than one kid. So 2,000 or 3,000 babies are not going to be born because sterilization. Gardasil took care of seats of young ladies in high school. Now, Gardasil was supposed to help with cervical cancer. I understand that kind of stuff. And cervical cancer usually comes not earlier than 40, 45 years old. And the Gardasil injection that they gave all the girls, or they wanted to give all the girls, lasts for 5 years. But the sterilization effects don't. Now, what we have here is we're giving somebody a shot that only works for 5 years, that they may get the cancer off 20 years later? How's that going to help anything? It's not going to help anything. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to help young ladies not have babies. Okay, now, another goal, homosexuality. How many young girls now and young men are now practicing homosexuality? Oh, scads. And what does that mean? No babies. That's what that means, no babies. HIV, what happened in the HIV business?
Wait a second, I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah, no babies.
Seeing a pattern here. Okay,
go ahead. No babies. Go. These people died from HIV, no babies.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, correct me if I'm wrong. HIV AIDS, let's see, who was the guy that really was active in that?
I can't remember his name, but it starts with an F.
Fauci, Anthony Fauci.
Yes,
there are no coincidences.
Are you picking this all up? All of these things are goal one, but Gates and Melinda Foundation.
Did he freeze up? Do we freeze up? Richard Proctor, you're frozen up in time. My apologies. We're going to get you right back here if I lost you. Eric the Tech, just to give me the heads up on that. We'll get him back. But he's making some very interesting points. And I'm going to make one other point, too. He started off talking about Keynesian economics. Keynesian economics. It's looks like Keynesian or Keynesian. Some people pronounce it. In fact, I used to pronounce it Keynesian, and I had someone in the know say, "Wait a minute, you're pronouncing it wrong, and it's very important that you pronounce it correctly. It's Keynesian economics." I said, "What's the difference in the pronunciation?" He said, "Remember Keynes, Tubal Keynes, Keynes, and then his descendant Tubal Cain. Everything is perverted biblically. Okay, you know this whole system of governance, this one world, new world order, concentration, consolidation of power, consolidation of money, by way of Keynesian economics. It's a perversion of Christianity. It's a perversion of the Bible. And of course, that's why, because when you go back to Cain and then go down through Tubal Cain and understand all of that, and then that extends into the royal family, royal bloodlines, again, you've got to really open your mind up to see. So that was one thing I wanted to mention. Let me know when he's back. Hopefully he didn't drop off the map there. But Tubal Cain, you know, he's a person mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4, verse 22, known for being, of course, at that time, the first blacksmith. But again, he's a descendant of Cain, and the story is pretty interesting, okay, in the Keynesian economics aspect of things, when you start getting into Keynesian economics. and looking at what the Keynesian economics is all about, this macroeconomic theory of total spending in the economy and how it affects output, productivity, inflation, and such, you'll understand. And the Keynesian economists, they advocated for government increased massive government expenditures. What are we seeing now with the Build Back Better bill? What's hidden inside that bill? Of course, this is all part of this Keynesian economic theory. So Richard Proctor, who's written extensively on this, is right on the money with this. And the Keynesian economists that we have are throughout the government and have been throughout the permanent SES, the permanent state. And we need to understand that none of this. And this also goes to the Overton window, the Fabian socialists and such, which is just the basis, if you will, for kind of like an infantile version of this globalist takeover, of this great reset. It could even be like a mini spark or a spark plug. It could act as that, but it's really the foundational mindset of what we're seeing today. And I wasn't really planning on getting into a discussion about this, but I think it's important to really understand what Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com is talking about. Again, a link in the program description box. And hey, while we're getting Richard Proctor back, let me do a selfish plug for my book, In the Dark of Night. I'm getting some people now that just don't like me, okay? But and they'll fly by and hit some negative stars on Amazon. But it's doing very well. It's I think we've surpassed 50,000 copies. In the Dark of Night. You can purchase it off of Amazon. And leave an honest review. That's all I'm asking, an honest review. Not enough to, you know, just as long as it's honest, it's fine. But this gets into, although it's fictionalized to protect the guilty and innocent, this is actually an accounting of, inspired by true events, what happened in the late 80s when I was investigating a homicide. And I'll tell you what, gotten some good reviews. So you can buy it either in Kindle or in paperback. And if you want to as well, we have some copies that I'll sign for you at HagmanReport.com. Click on the store and just go to that particular book. But be very specific of how you want it inscribed. If you want it inscribed to Sally, or if you don't want anything written in there, just let me know. Let me know. Okay. But either way, that's In the Dark of Night. And I want to thank you for allowing me to plug that as well. It makes a good Christmas gift, I think. And I am re-releasing my first book, thanks to Eric the Tech and other supportive people. And a third book, of course, following this one, will be coming out. So that's that. Do we have Richard yet? Or is he? No. He wasn't struck by a meteor or anything like that, was he? Well, you just never know. Turkey got him. All right. So while we're waiting for Richard to come back, I had mentioned the 1-6 committee, the January 6th committee. And there are so many unanswered questions with respect to January 6th. And the reason I mentioned this, because, again, Roger Stone was subpoenaed. Alex Jones was subpoenaed. Of course, Steve Bannon subpoenaed, said, you know, no, ain't going to happen. And then, of course, I believe it was a grand jury had an arrest warrant out for Steve Bannon. He turned himself in. You know, what are Alex Jones and Roger Stone going to do? I have an idea. I'm not going to talk about that. But watch for a widening net, because their narrative is falling apart. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned earlier, Benny Thompson, of course, the head of the 1-6 committee, fabricated out of whole cloth a scenario that reportedly put Bernard Carrick in the war room at the Willard Hotel. And I've been there. No, not on 1-6. No, no. in Washington, D.C., when in fact he was 300 miles away. But this is the links they'll go to. Now, they're using the weaponized Department of Justice and the FBI, of course, as their own Gestapo, if you will. So keep your eyes on this. But there's one other part that, you know, it's not getting a lot of play. And this is starting to come out now. A woman by the name of Roseanne Boyland. Now, she died on the 6th of January. The question, and reportedly, she died supposedly from, now, this is the official media narrative account that she died of a reported drug overdose or something that having to do with drugs. Oh, wait a second here. There's a video that where she was beaten to a pulp by Capitol Police and others. Where's any news on that? Okay, where is any news on that? Now, Roger Stone did come out, and he did speak publicly to Newsmax, saying the January 6th subpoena is Witch Hunt 2.0, which, okay, you know, because he's been through this many, many times, not many times, but he's been through this before, specifically with the Mueller investigation, his prior arrest and indictment in the Mueller probe that took place on January 29th, 2019. Quoting Roger Stone now, this is Witch Hunt 2.0. I mean, any assertion, claim, implication that I knew about or was involved in any way, the illegal activities at the Capitol or in Washington, D.C. on January 6th is categorically false. It wasn't on the ellipse. I did not march to the Capitol. I was not at the Capitol, and I literally know nothing about it. And that's what he said to to Newsmax, American Agenda. Now, he did say, of course, that he was in Washington on the day before the Capitol, on January 5th, where he encouraged a peaceful protest, and we were involved in that as well, in encouraging peaceful protests. But he had no part in whatever happened inside the Capitol. And that's his story, and that's where it's at. But again, I'm heavily stressing, folks, that this is going to get much uglier. And you're going to see things happen, especially in the next 30 to 60 days, that you would not think possible. And I say that because the weaponized Department of Justice is going after any patriot. And they're expanding that. And as I mentioned before as well, and I'm not going to play all of the clips and such, you have, of course, the October 4th memo from Merrick Garland talking to or instructing the field offices, the FBI field offices, to go after the parents who speak out at school board meetings. And that extends into other local meetings where they're losing the battle, where the globalists, where the party of Davos, where the influencers are losing the battle, are at the local levels. So in order to regain control of this, what they're doing is they're using federal assets into the local arenas and making felons or domestic terrorists out of parents and out of interested people who want to see revisions, whether it's the school board or the county or city council or whatever the structure of the local government might be. That's what's taking place right now. And in addition to that, when you see the trials, for example, the Rittenhouse trial, things that happened in Kenosha, what happened in Wisconsin with that massive Black Lives Matter supporting alleged killer, okay, using his vehicle to mow down those innocents in the Christmas parade. When you see that happen, look for the FBI's appearance on site, even though jurisdictionally there's not an issue there, any more than there would be an issue with Kyle Rittenhouse, but look for their presence. And look for, and as Sundance from Conservative Treehouse, I love his writing, I love his investigation, points out, Community Relations Service portion of the FBI, of the Department of Justice. They are the ones who are molding the narratives. As a matter of fact, again, I don't want to overspeak or have any issues with Richard Proctor, so you tell me, he's not with us. Is he okay? We don't know. Oh, he may be popping in right now. Okay. Well, let me know when he does, because well, just let me know when he does. I'm here. Hey, where'd you go?
Hey, I had a flicker of electricity in here, and it wiped me out. I mean, it dropped everything. Modem turned off. Everything. Had to reboot the modem, had to reboot the computer, had to do everything all over again. It takes more than a minute or two.
Yeah, you know, that really bites. I'm going to tell you what, it really is inconvenient when that does happen. It's that flick, and then like everything has to reset. You know, it takes us 30 minutes here to do our equipment. So anyway.
Well, see. Oh, then I'm a speedy guy here. It only takes me about 10, 15 maybe.
Well, we have bigger things.
Bigger stuff than I do. Just even meaning stuff.
Size matters, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
So, yes.
Have we beat Fauci to death? Have we beat the system to death?
Well, actually, you know what I did? I kind of took a left turn there. I was talking about Keynesian economics and how the perversion of that. You know, Cain from the Bible, the biblical Cain. And so I went through that a little bit. But
yes, Keynesian economics is all a lie, you guys. Every bit of it, it's all a fabricated lie. All the books he writes are all fabricated. Now, how can I say that? I mean, this guy's a well-known economist. He's one of the champions of the world. Do you know why? Because he's a Fabian socialist, and they wanted to make sure that he was. That's why. What? I mean, I'm just giving an illustration. It's a very small illustration. I have a chart over here I could show it to you, but it's very small. Can't read very easily. The law of inflation, okay? What causes inflation? Now, back in the 1800s, 1860s, 1870s, a gentleman came up with a formula, MV equals PT. Not a tough formula, is it? It's very easy to do. MV equals PT. And the M is the money supply, V is the velocity of the money travels, T is the number of transactions during a particular period of time, and P is the price. Now, if you take, and you guys have known a little bit about algebra, know you can do this, you can divide both sides of the equation by T. That moves T to the right side. Now it says MV divided by T equals P. Now you can set both T and V to 1. And then they offset each other. Now what are you left with? M equals P. Now that's very clear to anybody who knows algebraic stuff. If you don't know algebraic stuff, just take my word for it. Money supply equals price. That's what that says. So if the money supply goes up, the prices go up. If the money supply goes down, the prices go down. When prices go up, it's inflation. When prices go down, it's depression or recession. Now that's very simply how those things happen. So anytime here comes Keynesian economics. That's very simple till this point. Now, Keynesian economics is a formula about this big from calculus, which I cannot read, even though I took calculus and graduated and had a pretty good grade in it, okay? I actually got a B+ in calculus. I'm surprised. Very complicated mathematics. All right, now, what does that mean? That means that we learn about Keynesianism. And Keynesianism, that formula does the same thing MV equals PT does, except nobody can read it. You have no idea what it is. And I'm positive that somewhere in that formula, they divide by zero. You know, if A equals B, if they're the same value, A and B are the same value, and you set up a line that says A minus B, you're now zero. And if you divide by A minus B, you're divided by zero, which is impossible. You cannot divide by zero. So the whole equation's screwed up. I don't know. I can't read it. But they say, and they show me on their charts, that if you have deficit spending, your economy will grow. Oh, boy, it will grow. Yes, it will grow. That's Keynesianism in its raw form. And inflation in its raw form, according to Keynes, is wet streets cause rain. That's like saying burn food in the oven was caused by the food.
Yeah.
Same thing. If you burn, according to Keynesian, if you burn the roast, it was caused by the roast, not the oven. That's what they say. That's what it says. Let me give another illustration about deficit spending. I got a swimming pool that's 15 or 20 feet wide, I mean long, and 20 or 30 feet high. And I take a bucket of water out this end, and I run down to the other end and pour it back in again. Has it changed anything? No. One bucket taken here, one bucket put here. I got to get my fingers right. One bucket here goes to here. It's the same thing, except it's not really, because as it goes around, you're slopping water out of the bucket, and that's the cost of government. You're slopping water out of the bucket, so when you put it back, it's less than you put in. So there's less money in the economy now than there was before because of deficit spending, and that's real. But we can fake it all out if we have a formula that pretends like there's no loss as you walk to the end of the pool. And if you pretend like when you take one bucket out, you put two buckets in, that's how Keynesian economics works. We don't teach Keynesian economics in the Institute, Provost Institute of Political Economics. We do not teach Keynesian, okay? But I can't go to a school today and get a degree anywhere without being taught Keynesian economics. Now, think about that for a minute. Keynesian has been the form of teaching, the Keynesian economics has been taught with gusto since the 50s. But it wasn't gusto when I was there, but I still got pulled into it. Oh, yeah. And I used to draw charts on the board to see, show people how the economy was improved because we had deficit spend. I was doing that in Vietnam when I was teaching economics in Vietnam. Then I sat down and said, wait a minute, how come Japan and West Germany have booming economies and they're not in debt? There's no government debt. Why are they working so well? And then I realized, just by thinking, that everything I'd been taught in my bachelor's degree about with it involved Keynesian economics was a lie. And so we don't teach those lies in the Provost Institute of Political Economics. We teach MV equals PT so that you understand how inflation works. Inflation is very simple. Money supply goes up, prices go up. Very simple. Money supply goes down, prices go down. Well, here's another little piece of this information. I got to put it all together. There's so much. You can't just stop at one
point.
I
love it when you do this because I love it. Put it together because, the other side of Keynesian economics is the, monetarist economics?
Monetary policy.
Yeah, Milton Friedman would be the antithesis of John Maynard Keynes. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Right. Okay. Yes. Monetary policy.
Yep.
Fiscal policy is taxes and that kind of story. Monetary policy is money. How you make the economy go up and down by money. How you make the economy go up and down by fiscal policy is taxes and government stuff like that. But now we're just talking about money, nothing but money, okay? Now, right now you know, or maybe you don't, but I'll tell you so that you will know. Okay, here we go. You know that if you deposit money in the bank that the bank's never seen before, they capitalize that night by 9 times. So if you put $10,000 in a bank today they've never seen before, even though it came from another bank, they've never seen it before. As of midnight tonight, they capitalize that and begin to loan out $90,000. That's creation of money. And if they go through the second cycle, the amount of money created by that $10,000 is $900,000. And that's what they're loaning out. Okay, now. Let's back up a little bit. Why can they capitalize it at nine times? Because they're required to keep 1%, 10% as a reserve deposit in case people want to come and get their money. It's there to give it to them. 10%, that's what they keep. Now, if that number went from 10% to 11%, they would now be destroying money wholesale. All you got to do is change that by 1%. So 11% they have to keep now instead of 10%. So now since they have to keep 11%, they got to go in and call in loans because they got to have it to 11%, but they had it at 10%. So they got to call in loans, and they're destroying all that created money. Every time a loan comes back, that created money, that loan comes back, the money's destroyed. Every time. So that means that one increase in the monetary policy of the reserve ratio, it's 0.1%, but let's just work 1%. 1% by itself will cause a depression in this country. Yes, it will. The other side of that is if they reduce it to from 10 to 9%, all of a sudden now they have another thousands of dollars that they can loan out that they couldn't loan out before when it was at 10. Now they can loan out all that extra money because they only have to keep 9. And that causes inflation. You see how you can prevent, how you can cause it through monetary policy? Just by creation or destruction of money. So what happened in 1932 and 33? Notice I didn't say 29. 1932 and 33, the Federal Reserve began to destroy money, which caused the run on the banks, which caused failures of banks. There was no stopgap, no way to stop it. So they caused that depression of 1933, the banking holiday. That's when it went full force. The banking holiday was to get people used to the fact that they just destroyed all kinds of money and hope that they would allow the deposits to stay. Because every time the depositors take money out, that they have part of loan, if you take out $10,000 of the money and that just gone out of that bank and they don't have anything to replace it, they just decrease the money supply that they're doing by $900,000. And we did that with just $10,000. That's how you cause a depression. And if you add another $10,000 in, another 1% in, now the guys can 9% puts it in, 11% takes it out. When you put 9%, they can go berserk. They can loan out more than 900,000. The number will probably be somewhere around, I don't know, 1.2 million instead of 900,000 per 10,000. Something like that. I've not computed those. Doesn't matter. Lower reserve ratio, the more money to loan. Higher reserve ratio, the less money to loan. If the loans are already out at the higher rate, they got to call them in and shut them down. Now that's what they did to the stock market in 29. But the stock market did not cause the depression of the 1930s. The market had already recovered in 30 and was improving in 31 and 31. And in 32, they had to do something else to keep. They had to do something else to keep the depression going. Who's they? The international banking establishment. Who's that? That's the people who are telling us to be afraid of a damn disease that doesn't. The disease exists. It's a biomedical thing, a bioweapon. That does happen. But they made us all afraid. Oh, got to get those shots. Got to go 6 feet. Got to get, It's a perfect tool. And it's destroying our economy. Because money's not flowing like it's supposed to. Yep. There should never be a shortage of any item on any shelf in any store in the United States. There never has been a shortage of any item in the United States. Never until 2021.
Why?
Because they shut down workers and they scared everybody to death so they wouldn't go to work, and they had to stay at home to protect themselves. And the government went around all around the country destroying crops and destroying. And the truckers, they were the things weren't moving like they should. So now the restaurants don't have their food. So now all the food the restaurants would have bought is destroyed because they closed the restaurants. All that food is destroyed. You see the ramifications? People drove up here from Utah, Idaho, carloads of potatoes for nothing and brought them back down because the farmers didn't want to destroy them. Fellow down in this, let's call it around Oklahoma, Nebraska area. Okay, can't give you exactly anymore. Last year, he said the government came in and slaughtered our pigs, slaughtered our cattle, destroyed the eggs, poured out good milk by the gross, by the ton, by the thousands. Where do you think the shortage came from then? Meat packers, that's a big, important item in our economy, restaurants, people, everything. They shut down the meat packers. How did they do that? First, they shut them down by telling them to lock out everybody so they couldn't go to work. But that wasn't enough. So the government, in the background, no, everybody doesn't know about this, but in the background, the government began shoveling out checks to companies who would not rehire. Or who would lay off their workers. Either way, we've got to get people stopped producing. And now the shortages are appearing again on the East Coast, and it'll carry over the nation. New thing by our buddy in the White House, new thing, I think it's January the 22nd, every truck hauler crossing U.S. borders must be vaccinated. What are the U.S. borders?
Well, I don't think we have one in the South, but, you know, just saying. Yeah, but good question, because continue with that. I think I know where you're
U.S.
headed.
Borders, it's very important. U.S. borders are very important. You see, the U.S. borders, every border of the United States and every state has a trucking stop in or out, one way or the other, on each side. Everybody does it, all the main roads, to check the loads of the trucks to make sure they're not overweight. That's all they're doing. But wouldn't it be interesting if they now began, oh, by the way, that's government controlled, state controlled, okay, but it's still government controlled. Wouldn't it be interesting if now the truckers were checked for a vaccine? No vaccine, you can't come into our state. U.S. borders are state borders, not the national borders. U.S. borders are the state borders. But they won't say that, but that's what they are. That means that they're going to limit the travel between states. That's what state borders means. That's what Biden said. We are going to, if you don't have a vaccine, you cannot go through, you cannot cross state borders. U.S. borders, he called it, to hide the word that it means state. You guys, you're hidden. Everything is hidden constantly. You just don't know how the words are used.
So
words change every day.
Exactly. So tell me, because this can't be. I mean, this can't be. This should not be. There is no power or authority to do this.
No, there isn't any at all. We just do it because he tells us to, because we don't know the Constitution. Nobody knows the Constitution. I keep hearing people say, well, I've read the Constitution. I know. Yeah, I've already read the Constitution. I don't need to know about it. I know about it. I went to school. I learned about the Constitution, so I know all about it. Well, you guys all know those are all lies. You weren't taught the Constitution while you were in school. You weren't taught any good history while you were in school. You were taught lies while you were in school. Even back in my day, you were taught lies. And that's clear back in the 50s.
Sure.
There were lies all the time.
Yep.
I'm sorry, guys. Your whole public school system is a farce. The whole thing, including the universities. I cannot go to a university and learn economics written by Adam Smith any longer. Period. You can't do it. If you can't read, and Adam Smith was the guy who wrote down proper economic theory published in 1776. I call that one of the pillars of 1776, one of the turning points of 1776. What happened on 4th of July in 1776? The Declaration of Independence. What happened on May the 1st of 1776? Do you guys know that? Do you know the answer to that question? What happened? Significant event occurred on May the 1st, 1776.
I know.
I'll bet it. Pardon?
Oh, you know. But go
I
ahead.
I bet you that, you've read it in the book, I think. But anyway, yep. If you hadn't read it in the book, good for you. Bottom line, guys, an organization was established in Germany, Bavaria, Germany, by Adam Westholt. I can't speak German, so I don't say my name. Adam Westholt organized an organization in 1776, May the 1st. Now, let's look at a little things that go around. Do we have maypoles? When do we celebrate maypoles? May the 1st. When did Russia always have a armament parade? May the 1st, 1776. Why? Because the Illuminati, the government, the organization that wants to destroy the world and set up a world government, to destroy all religions, destroy all families, destroy everything, all private property, destroy all of this, organized in 1776 on May the 1st. Now, you see Satan coming in on May the 1st, 1776 to destroy everything. You see the Declaration of Independence coming in on July of 1776, which is God's side of that. So you have evil on one side, May the 1st, righteousness on the other side, July the 4th. And right in the middle of that, I don't know what date exactly, doesn't matter, 1776, here comes Adam Smith's book, A Wealth of Nations. What does that book do? That teaches basic economic principles. The first one. And both of these, the communist guys, i.e. Adam Westholt and team, and the Declaration of Independence, righteous guys, use Adam Smith's book however they want to. And it can be done. It can be done. It's done all the time. All the time. All the time. Those are the three events that occurred in 1776 that we're fighting still today.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to cough in the mic, but if I can expand on the maypole, there's a dance. It's related to Beltane. It's pretty satanic in its nature. It's a fertility dance, and the pole itself. And I don't want to be too graphic here. Is a representative of a small G god phallic symbol. So go ahead. And it's amazing what people don't know about this.
Yeah, well, you see, it all comes from the same place. It all comes from the Illuminati, and they're celebrating the organization of the Illuminati. That's what's going on May the 1st. We like it or not, that's what's happening. Now, it doesn't happen so much anymore today because the Communist Party doesn't have a parade on there. But we still have maypoles. We still have these things. But whether it's being celebrated or not, it still is the date. And today we're fighting the same thing. The economic theories that are coming from the Illuminati are going all the way through our educational system, all the way to the doctorate degree of economics. And economics is vitally important, even though you don't believe that. Economics is vitally important. Well, you don't know economics, you don't know how the government's screwing you every day. Go ahead.
I know, I love this because I hope today as we approach and enjoy the time with hopefully our families at Thanksgiving, for people to understand how deep this goes. And I think you gave people a taste of this and for really the entire entree. Folks, take advantage of the Liberty Series. Is that still on? Is that still $100 off the door?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That's on sale. Now, Doug, you mentioned a little bit in one of the times that I listened to about our books. You know, the costs have gone humongous. Doing the printing, I didn't realize how much until I ran out of my books in the Liberty Series and had to buy new ones, and I discovered how much the prices have gone up.
Yeah, good night.
So, guess what? Up until December the 10th, which is the date I announced a couple of weeks ago, all the specials, all the sales, all the books, everything is going to go at the same price with all the same specials. $100 for the Liberty Series, full set, no problem. $20 a book for the bathroom economics and easily understood economics. And all of those, all are now at $20, and they're going to continue at $20. And anything that people are doing for seminars prior to December the 10th are all going to go for the same prices we've been doing everything all along. But on December the 11th, guys, we're going to have to raise our prices.
Understandable.
$25 a book, not 20 anymore. I can't do it.
Well, you're going to be losing money. Yeah. Okay, so in the remaining 2.5 minutes we have left, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, I want to make this appeal to you. As you're celebrating Thanksgiving and the next day, Black Friday, of course, do yourself a favor. Get in before the December 10th deadline. Order books from ProvisInstitute.com. Link in the program description box. Bathroom Economics, Liberty Series for $100. The rest, you said 20, right?
Yeah, 20, 30 for two books. Yes.
Okay. 30 for two books, one for 20, two for 30 outside of the Liberty Series, which is 100 out the door. That's fantastic. You know, yeah. I, of all the things I'm thankful for here in the minute and a half we have left, Richard Proctor, I'm thankful for you that you spend your time educating our audience and talking with our audience. And I really give thanks at this time of year for you and for all you're doing right now. And I really appreciate you. The deep dive into things, I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the thought. And my feeling is, what's Thanksgiving for? I'm going to mention something. I believe Thanksgiving is for us to give thanks for the country that has the opportunities. Did you hear that? Of the liberties that we shared before. Give thanks for that. Also give thanks for the fact you don't live in Australia, Austria, England, who don't have a constitution at all to go back on. So they don't have these rights established by government. Okay? We do. Give thanks that we do. Now, after you've given thanks for it, do something to keep it.
Do something to keep it. And that doesn't mean sitting there on your recliner with your remote. It means actually doing something, and we must do that. Otherwise, you know what? We're going to hang. If we don't hang together, stand together, I should say, we're going to hang separately. And I think that we need to do that. We need to do it right now. Now is the time.
And the tools are there, Doug. The tools are there. I provided the people with all the tools they need to understand what's happening.
You got.
I don't need
right.
any more tools than these. Yes.
You got that right. Richard Proctor, we're going to have to cut you loose. We are at the end of the program. May God bless you again. And I give thanks to you, and I give my thanks as well to your lovely wife for sharing you with us. And I appreciate you in this Thanksgiving, and I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Folks, Richard Proctor, Provis Institute, get his books. Do it. Black Friday. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. It's now is the time before December 10th, before the price increase. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a second. Oh, I wrote down Richard Proctor. You know what? That was a premature.
Was that premature?
That was premature. Eric's looking at me and saying, what are you doing? You got 2 minutes left. So, okay.
Oh, I was hoping it'd be 10 because I lost a lot of time in the middle.
You did, but I made that day. All right. So I'll give you
2 minutes.
I'll give you a minute. Minute 30, all yours.
Go. Okay. Today, right now, today, the end of the year, everybody's talking about property taxes. They're being increased. Folks, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the rates. The rates are important. Yes, they are. But what's more important is the value of your home. Now, I do a whole podcast on this week. This week's podcast is on value of your home. How is it determined and why is it wrong? Your home value for your property taxes is wrong. It's completely against all the concepts of inventory and sales. The way it's done is wrong. This is the right combination for property tax. The tax rate is based on the price, the last price it sold for, not what they think today might be in a vision. The last site price, the value of your home is equal to the last price paid for it, the one you did. When you sell it, the next person's value will be what he paid for it. But the price of your home stays the same until you sell it.
Where can we find more information? What you just said to me is
extreme. Podcast, this week's podcast.
All right.
This week, number 31. Number right there.
31. Folks, tune into that one. I can't wait to listen to that one myself, given the fact that I'm going to be buying a estate next to Nancy Pelosi in Jupiter, yes. Florida, right? All right, never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Richard Proctor, now take it's care. For real. God bless. Have a great night.
Take care.
All right.
You bet.